Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so that Holy Week began, as you heard at the doorway to the church this morning, with Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, with garments draped over the two donkeys, the colt and its mother, carpeting the road with yet more garments, with branches and palm branches in their hands and on the road, as the crowds sang their praises to Jesus on that Palm Sunday. And though Jesus didn't speak a word to the crowds as he rode into the city, he did communicate a very powerful message to everyone by his choice of transportation. It was not by accident. It was very intentional that Jesus sent his disciples to get those two donkeys and bring them to him on that day in order to fulfill the words of the prophet Zechariah, which St. Matthew quoted for us. "Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." It would have been enough for Jesus to ride the colt into Jerusalem, but Matthew tells us that the colt's mother was there too, so that there could be absolutely no doubt in the people's minds what this event signified. Even as the prophet Zechariah mentioned both the colt and the colt's mother in his prophecy. "This Jesus is the Christ," proclaimed the donkeys silently, with the words of the prophet Zechariah echoing out, "This is your king." As Zechariah informed us, Jesus is the King of Zion, the King of Jerusalem, the King of all God's people, the Son of David, the Son of God. And now that he has suffered for us, God the Father has exalted the suffering Son of David and given him the name that is above every name and the place that is above every place, so that there is no other true king. Every knee must bow to this king. Every tongue must confess this one as Lord, as the apostle wrote. And all of humanity is divided in two by this king. There are those who are on the inside of his kingdom and those who are on the outside of it. The blessed subjects of this king and the cursed enemies of him. But who is who? Which is which? And how do people find themselves on the inside or on the outside of his kingdom? The donkeys tell us. There is a line from Zechariah's prophecy that St. Matthew assumes we know. "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation." This king doesn't come on Palm Sunday to wipe out his enemies. He will come on the last day to do just that. But on Palm Sunday he came, and even today, until that day when he comes again, he still comes not to wipe out his enemies. He also comes not to acknowledge how good and righteous some people are and how much they deserve to have him as their king. This king comes as the only one who is just, as the only one who is righteous, the one who comes to bring righteousness to a world that is entirely unrighteous, who comes to bring salvation to a whole world in desperate need of being saved, who comes to turn his enemies into his friends, to turn the children of wrath into the children of God. He comes on a donkey to tell the world that he is lowly, as the prophet said. Not the kind of lowly who is powerless and helpless before his enemies, but the kind of lowly who sets his power aside in order to allow his enemies to mistreat him so that his enemies might be saved. Not the kind of lowly who is inferior to the people around him, but the kind of lowly who looks to the interests of everyone around him rather than to his own. The kind of lowly, as Paul described in the epistle, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. People will sometimes depict Jesus as some kind of snobbish, snooty, looking down on all those sinners kind of religious leader. Nothing could be farther or further from the truth. He is lowly. He didn't come on Palm Sunday to condemn sinners, but to show already condemned sinners how they might change their status from condemned to justified, from lost to found, from perishing to saved. For that, two things are required. One, that there be a sacrifice for sins, and not just any sacrifice, but a human sacrifice, and not just any human, but a human who is sinless, who is righteous, one who is innocent, one whose blood is so valuable that it's worth more than all the blood and all the works and all the sins of all mankind. For condemned sinners to be saved, their salvation must be earned and paid for, not by them, but by the King. For condemned sinners to be saved, an atoning sacrifice must be offered, the sacrifice of Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And two, the sacrifice of the King must be applied to the sinner, counted to the sinner's account. That happens through faith alone. Faith alone justifies. Not because faith is some great work, but because through faith, Christ's sacrifice is applied to sinful people. Faith is the conduit or the channel through which His righteousness flows to us and covers us, and we are brought into His kingdom. And there we are safe. This week, we will continue to follow Jesus through that Holy Week, when Christ our King earned salvation for us all. And through the word that you hear and meditate on this week at our many services, and through the sacrament that you receive, His saving work will be applied to you again. And God will strengthen your faith more and more through these means of grace. May God grant you a penitent heart and a sincere devotion throughout this Holy Week, so that you may raise your voices with joy, together with the crowds outside of Jerusalem and together with the voice of the whole church. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.